Picture a clear Saturday morning, not a cloud in the sky, 10 miles visibility, the kind of day you wait all winter for. You're northbound, straight and level, enjoying the ride, and there's another airplane out there, southbound, at your exact altitude, closing on you at a combined speed that neither of you can really feel. Neither pilot is doing anything wrong. Both of you are legal. Both of you are current. Both of you have every right to be right there. So who turns? That question has an answer. It's written down, and a surprising number of us learned it once for the written test, checked the box, and never really thought about it again. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to walk through the right-of-way rules together. The regulation is Federal Aviation Regulation 91413, and by the end of this you're going to know exactly who yields, who holds course, and what to do on the day the whole thing gets decided in about 4 seconds. Before we climb into it, a quick word about the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you can hold in your hand years later and remember exactly how it felt. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into it. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The right-of-way rules are not really about who gets to win, they're about removing the guesswork. When two airplanes meet, the last thing you want is both pilots trying to be polite, both of them turning, both of them guessing what the other one is about to do. That's how you turn a near miss into a collision. The rules exist so that one airplane knows to hold its course, and the other one knows the responsibility to move is squarely on its shoulders. So let's start with the single most important line in the whole regulation. It comes right at the top, and it's the sentence that outranks everything else we're going to talk about today. The regulation says that regardless of who has the right of way, every pilot is responsible for seeing and avoiding other aircraft. Let me say that again, because it's the whole ballgame, right? Of way does not give you the right to hit somebody. Even if you're dead in the right, even if the other airplane is 100% obligated to move, if you see a collision developing, you're required to do something about it. The examiner is looking for you to understand that having the right-of-way is not a shield. It's not a legal argument you get to make afterward. There is no afterward if the two airplanes touch. See and avoid comes first, last, and always. Okay, with that foundation under us, let's build up the actual rules, and we'll do it in the order you're most likely to run into them. Let's start with converging. This is our Saturday morning scenario, sort of. Two airplanes at roughly the same altitude, on paths that are going to cross, not head-on, but converging from an angle. The rule is simple. The aircraft on the other pilot's right has the right of way. Put another way, when two airplanes are converging, look to your right. If there's traffic coming from your right side, that airplane has the right of way, and you're the one who gives way. If you've ever driven a car up to a four-way stop, you already have a feel for this. The vehicle on the right generally goes first. Aviation borrowed the same logic. The airplane on your right holds course. You yield. And here's the part people forget. When you give way, you're not allowed to just dive or climb underneath and hope it works out. The regulation says the pilot who gives way must alter course to the right and must not pass over, under, or ahead of the other aircraft unless you're well clear. Alter course to the right. That's the move. You turn right, you open up the distance, and you pass behind them. Why to the right? Because it's predictable. If both pilots know the yielding airplane turns right, then even in the worst case where you both somehow think you're the one giving way, you both turn right, and you both slide apart. The rule is built to fail safely. Now let's talk about the scariest one, head-on, or nearly head-on. Two airplanes approaching each other more or less nose-to-nose. This is the scenario with the least time and the highest closure rate. Two airplanes doing a buck 20 each are closing at 240 knots. That's 4 nautical miles a minute. A dot on your windshield can become a real airplane faster than you'd ever believe. The rule here is clean and it applies to both of you equally. When two aircraft are approaching head-on, or nearly so, each pilot shall alter course to the right. Both of you turn right. Nobody has the right-of-way in a head-on. You both move, you both go right, and you pass each other left side to left side, like two cars on the road passing in opposite directions in most of the world. Here's the practical piece. Turn right early and turn right, obviously. A big, clear, early heading change tells the other pilot exactly what you're doing and gives them room to do the same. A tiny late nudge invites confusion. When in doubt, make the turn unmistakable. Now the third geometry. Overtaking, you're the faster airplane, coming up behind a slower one. Maybe you're a retractable single running down a training airplane in the practice area. Maybe you're just cruising quicker than the traffic ahead. The rule flips your instinct here. The aircraft being overtaken has the right of way. The slower airplane in front holds course and speed. You, the faster airplane coming from behind, have all the responsibility. You must alter course to the right to pass, and you have to stay well clear. Notice the pattern that keeps coming up to the right? Converging, you turn right. Head on, you both turn right. Overtaking, you pass on the right. When your brain is loaded and the seconds are ticking, that's the thread to hold on to. The regulation loves the right turn, because a whole sky full of pilots all defaulting to the right is a sky that sorts itself out. Let's take a breath here, because I don't want this to feel like memorizing a table for a test. Let me put you in the airplane. You're in the pattern at a non-towered field. Nice day. So there's traffic. You're on downwind. Somebody calls a straight in on the same runway. Now you've got a converging problem and you've got the whole spirit of 9113 sitting in your lap. Who's higher? Who's faster? Who's going to see whom? This is where the see and avoid line at the top of the reg earns its keep. You're not going to key the mic and read the pilot the regulation. You're going to look, you're going to build a picture, and you're going to make room. Being right is worthless if it puts two airplanes in the same piece of sky. That's the mindset the rule is really teaching. Not who wins, how to keep everyone out of the same spot. Now let's add the layer that trips people up, and honestly, it's kind of a beautiful part of the regulation once you see the logic. What happens when the two aircraft aren't the same kind of aircraft at all? What if it's an airplane and a glider, an airplane and a balloon, somebody towing a banner? The regulation lays out a pecking order by category, and there's a reason behind it that makes the whole list easy to remember. The general principle is this: the aircraft that is least able to maneuver or least able to get out of the way gets the right of way. The more maneuverable and more powered you are, the more the responsibility to yield falls on you. So here's the hierarchy from the top down. A balloon has the right of way over just about everything. Think about why. A balloon goes where the wind goes. It can change altitude a little, but it cannot turn to avoid you. It is the least able to maneuver, so it sits at the top of the list. Everybody yields to the balloon. Next down, a glider. A glider has no engine. It cannot add power and climb away from a conflict. It's managing its energy and its altitude very carefully to reach a landing spot. So a glider yields to a balloon, but has the right of way over airplanes and everything with an engine below it on the list. Below the glider, an airship. And then we get to the category most of us live in. An airplane. A powered, maneuverable airplane sits near the bottom of that hierarchy, which means we yield to the balloon, the glider, and the airship. We've got an engine. We've got the ability to turn and climb and get out of the way, so the burden is ours. There's a special case worth calling out. An aircraft that is towing or refueling another aircraft has the right of way over all other engine-driven aircraft. Picture a tow plane dragging a glider up on a rope. That combination is not nimble, so powered airplanes give way to it. And then there's the exception that lives above all of it. An aircraft in distress has the right of way over all other air traffic, period. If somebody's declared an emergency, if somebody is in trouble, they get whatever they need, and the rest of us get out of the way. That one you shouldn't have to think about. It should just live in your bones. Now let me tie the category list back to real life, because it's not just trivia. If you fly anywhere near a glider port, or a balloon launch area, or a banner tow operation along a beach, this hierarchy is not abstract. That glider has the right of way over you, and it also might be very hard to see. Thin as a knife edge when it turns toward you. Knowing the rule and knowing where those operations happen are two halves of the same safety picture. There's one more piece of 9113 I want to make sure you carry with you, and it's about the ground, not the air. When two aircraft are approaching an airport for the purpose of landing, the aircraft at the lower altitude has the right of way. The lower airplane wins. That makes sense. The airplane closer to the runway is more committed, has less room to go around gracefully, and is harder pressed to give up its spot.
But the regulation puts a fence around that rule, and it's an important fence. You cannot use that rule to cut somebody off. The reg specifically says, a pilot shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of another aircraft that is on final approach or to overtake that aircraft. So you can't come diving down from above, slide underneath somebody who's already established on final, and then say, well, I was lower, I had the right of way. No. That's exactly the move the regulation is written to forbid. The lower airplane has the right of way, but not if you got low by cutting in front of a guy who was already there. This one matters most at busy non-towered fields on beautiful weekends. That's precisely when tempers and traffic both run high. Fly it courteously. If somebody's established on final and you're maneuvering, the polite thing and the legal thing line up perfectly. You let them go. So let's pull it all together because I want you to walk away with something usable, not just a list. Here's the whole regulation in plain language. See and avoid always comes first, no matter who has the right of way. When you're converging, the airplane on the right has it. And if that's not you, turn right and pass behind. Head on, you both turn right. Overtaking, the airplane in front has it, and you pass on the right and stay clear. Different categories, the one least able to maneuver wins. So balloons over gliders, over airships, over airplanes, and anyone in distress over everybody. And on approach, the lower airplane has the right of way. But you never use that to cut in front of somebody on final. Now, here's the takeaway I really want you to fly with. Every one of those rules is downstream of one idea. The rules exist so that when two airplanes meet, one of them knows for certain to hold course, and the other one knows for certain that moving is their job. The danger is never that somebody follows the rule. The danger is two pilots both hesitating, both guessing, both being polite in a way that puts them in the same place at the same time. So, on your next flight, do this for me. Clear your turns like you mean it. Look to your right on those converging paths, because that's where your right-of-way traffic lives. When something's coming the other way, turn right early and turn right big. And keep your head on a swivel in the pattern, because that's where all of this stops being theory. Being right has never once kept two airplanes apart, seeing the other guy has. The regulation knows that, and now so do you. Today's walkthrough comes straight out of Federal Aviation Regulation 9113 and the Airman Certification Standards, and I'd encourage you to read the reg itself because it's shorter and clearer than you'd expect. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Fly friendly out there. Turn right, look twice, and I'll see you back in the pattern.